Good morning. If you do not know who I am, I'm Bo Daly. I teach the youth here a couple days a week. I get to preach on occasion. I'm in between sermon series, and John asked me to come up. So before we get started, I want to warn everybody that it's not going to be your typical sermon. But with me being up here, you shouldn't expect anything less, right? So to start off, first things first, that's the only screen you're going to look at all day. There's no sermon notes. There's no scripture up there. There's nothing in your bulletin. So if you want to take notes, find some blank space and start writing. Good luck. And secondly, we have no scripture, like I said. So if you have your Bibles, who brought their physical Bible today? Not a smartphone or an iPad. Okay, I'm talking the real thing here, okay? I don't think there's any laying around. Good for you. You guys passed the test. Everyone else, you can go home. So don't really do that. But it's crazy to think to actually bring your Bible to church, right? So we're going to read scripture. And if you were following along, we're going to be in Joshua. So I want you to have your Bible, okay? Secondly, I titled this sermon New Year, New You, because to be honest, I didn't have a title and I didn't know what to do with it. And everyone says that in January, so whatever, we'll call it that. But it works. It's kind of going along with everything. So that's where we're going to start. How's everyone doing on their resolutions? The silence tells me not too good. How about with Pastor John's current, former sermon series, the words and the phrases and our thoughts that we had to pick? Everyone doing well on those? Kind of staying with it? Good? That's good. I really enjoyed that Pastor John ended with discipline, right? Because discipline kind of summed up everything. We pick a word, we pick a phrase, we have a resolution we say we're going to do, and we have to stick with it. That's the discipline. That's the hard part, right? Staying with it. We're lucky we have 5 Sundays in January because we don't have to feel bad about getting behind in our resolution so far, right? So my resolutions, I've decided that if you don't pick one, then you can't fail them. So there's no resolutions. I'm just kidding. Last year, I decided I wanted to read 5 books a year throughout the whole year. I want to read 5 books. And I did that. So I want to try and read books again. If you know me, I'd rather wait for the movie to come out than read the actual book. So I started 2 books last year, but I'm going to finish them this year. So that counts for this year's. It doesn't go on last year's. So my goal today is to get everyone caught up on their resolutions, all right? Resolutions is speaking with our spiritual resolutions, our reading and our praying, okay? So we're going to do 2 things. We're going to pray, and then we're going to read. We're going to pray first, and we're going to read. We're going to pray a little different. That's the next thing that's different about this. We got a lot of people in here today, so I'm trusting you to do this efficiently. I don't want someone from the back of the room to go to that side of the room and pray. We're going to pray in a triangle. So I need you to find 2 people around you, 3 people total, triangle. We're going to pray, okay? So go ahead and do that. You can stand up and move around if you need to. Don't go too far. If you have more, it'll be okay, but do this. All right, everyone ready? Here's what we're going to do. We need 1 person. We're going to pray out loud, okay? So you're not listening to anybody else's prayer. No one's going to hear you, but we're going to pray out loud in your group of your triangle. The first person's going to pray, okay? And you're going to pray just thanking God for bringing us here, for bringing the people in your group here today, and just the blessings He continuously pours out. You ready? Go. All right. Someone different now, the next person in your group, you're going to pray for each individual in your group, okay? These aren't going to be specific. They're short and sweet, but we're going to trust that God knows our hearts and our minds, that we know what we're dealing with, okay? So go ahead, someone else in your group, pray. All right, one more person, this last person, you get to pray. You're going to pray for that you and your group, you stick with your disciplines and your resolutions and your words, whatever it may be, not just now, but that we stay with what we say we're going to do. We're good to our word. Ready, go. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you in prayer today. We thank you that you are entering this place as we worship you and sing about you and hear what you do through people, even miles and miles away. Lord, we pray now that Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, but a cord of three is not quickly broken. So we come today not as one or two, but in groups of three, and we now come as many with one goal, to honor you, to listen to what you want us to hear. I pray you stay in this place, you hear our cries, that we feel your presence, and whatever is supposed to be said comes directly from you. We thank you, God, and we ask for your continuous love and to be your vessels here on earth. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, you can be seated. All right, to go along with the sermon title, I'm new, but I feel pretty new and refreshed, right? You guys feel better? Feel good? All right, good. So now, like I said, we're going to pray, then we're going to read. We're going to read now. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Joshua chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, use your smartphone for today or whatever you have. I want to make a point, though, that there's something really special about having one of these to read in, right? Like, maybe it's the smell. I don't know. I think mine might smell different than yours, but I don't. But there's something about being able to write in it, you know, underline, highlight, draw stuff. If you're like my wife, I can now call her, you have this space on the side and you can draw pictures and like really cool stuff. I have trouble just underlining straight without like crossing out the word. But she's got like pictures and stuff and it's pretty cool. So we're going to read in Joshua chapter 1. Hold on, one more thing before we get started now. We have to be clear about what we're talking about today. We're going to read about the taking of the promised land, okay? And back then in Joshua's time, they actually had a physical land they were going to acquire. But today, we're new covenant living, right? So we don't have a physical land that we're getting. We have a promised land life, right? We have a life that we have been promised through God that's a better life through Jesus, right? That's what we're talking about. It's a life that is... we live that we're no longer anxious about anything, that we are joyous in our trials. We have a purpose. We trust God's character fully. And this is ours for the taking. It's been given to us. That means in this crazy world that is surrounded by negativity and bad stuff, we all hear the news and know what's going on, that we have a promised land living. And we can exhibit that type of life in southeast Ohio, at the hospital every day when we go to work or at school or our campus, wherever we are, when we're pumping gas or buying groceries, that we can exhibit to other people this promised land life that we have through God, okay? We have access to every spiritual blessing from then until eternity through Jesus. My question is, why don't we take it? Why do we refuse to accept the promise that we've been given? Many of us live our lives delivered, but not free. We live delivered, but not free. We like to wander in the desert for 40 years, still worrying about the things in our past and our debt and our lives and our sin and our fear and whatever it may be. We'd rather walk around wondering than take the promise that we have. There's an inheritance in Christ that gives us access to every spiritual blessing, and it's ours for the taking. So how do we do it? How do we represent promised land living? Let's read. Joshua 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. All right, that's a lot of words. It's a lot. That's one whole chapter. So if you fell behind in your reading for the Bible this year, I just caught you up. Okay? Your resolutions are back on track. We prayed and we read together. All right? So, sum this up a little bit. 39 years ago, they were supposed to take the promised land, right? Moses was supposed to enter. And what happened? They didn't fully trust God. So therefore, what's God do to them? He punishes them. He says, all right, you're going to wander in the desert for the next 40 years. During this time, the wandering wasn't just so they could walk around. There was a plan that was in place, right? What God did was the disobedient group of people died off. And the people who weren't disobedient were raising up the next generation, the younger generation, to fully trust God. They're saying, hey, listen, I don't want to wander out here for another 40 years, so we're going to trust God and do it right this time. Okay? What I've learned is that when God says he's going to do something, it may take a really, really, really long time, but he's going to do it. Right? So, we read, back to verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. All right, we're going to stop there. If you flip back 2 pages to Deuteronomy 10, chapter 34, verse 10, it says, since then no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all of Israel. So that guy, Moses, everyone knows Moses, right? Moses, all these crazy things, right? He saw God face to face. He had the Ten Commandments in his hand, right? That's Moses. And what does it say in Joshua he is called? Servant of the Lord. So is it possible then that of all our dreaming and scheming and wanting to do big things for God, the only thing we can really do is become a servant of the Lord? There's only 4 other people in Scripture, 4 people total, who have been called a servant of the Lord. Moses is the first one. Abraham, David, and Joshua later on in this book are called servant of the Lord. 4 people. That's a pretty good group to be in, if you ask me. So now we see Joshua. The next, continue that verse, the Lord said to Joshua, Moses' aide. So 2 people we have in the Bible so far. We have Moses, who's a servant of the Lord, and Joshua, his aide. 2 terms that, in our society, are lower of the totem pole, right? So how is Joshua qualified then? Well, first of all, God appointed him. If there's nothing else, that's enough to get Joshua to become the next in line. Number two, he was only one of two people to be an eyewitness to the plagues and the Exodus. That's pretty good. Number three, like I said, he's Moses' personal aide. Number four, of the 12 spies, he and Caleb were the ones who showed complete confidence in God. So, back to our verse. Starting in verse 2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River. So we see Moses, his servant, and we see his aide, Joshua, and now Moses is dead. It wasn't until Moses is dead that the Lord comes to Joshua and says, hey, get ready. You're going to take the river. And he did all this stuff while being Moses' aide. What happens to us is we don't want to be anybody's aide. So my question is, if we don't want to be anybody's aide, how are we prepared to be anyone's servant? And this hits me right in the gut, because if you know me, I want to go, right? I see the promised land, I'm going after the promised land, okay? I'm not going to be like, hey guys, let's figure out a plan here, let's go to take, no, I'm running. You guys are going to catch up later, right? I don't want to wander around for 40 years in the desert. That sounds boring and exhausting. Anyone else feel that way? But look at what Joshua got to experience being the aide of Moses. He got to see him go up on the hill and receive the Ten Commandments. He got to see Moses get angry. He got to see what happens when you disobey God. He got to see how Moses talked face to face with God, right? All these things Joshua saw firsthand. But see, Joshua wasn't using his position as aide to be a stepping stone to become a servant of the Lord. Because to Joshua, he would have never guessed that Moses wasn't going to enter the promised land. So he wasn't trying to use it to be like, okay, I'm going to wait till he dies and then I'm going to enter the promised land. That's not what Joshua was thinking at all. It wasn't until Moses was dead. And in our case, we don't even wait till the person is dead. Right? We don't want to be the aide. We're saying, and I'm saying this too, well, I'm gifted now. I want that job now. Use me now. And the person isn't even dead yet. No offense to Pastor John. I'm not wishing that on you either. And what we see here in Joshua's story is God is saying, would you just let me build some character up in you? Let me show you what it's like to be an aide. Let me show you how to talk with me, what it looks like when you disobey me. Let me show you exactly how to take the promise that I'm giving you. See, he's trying to build you up. He's trying to build me up. Because trials and bad things in our life, they're going to come eventually. We all know that, right? And if you don't have a foundation, what happens is those fears and doubts and that sin that you have, it just knocks you right over. And you're done. You're back to square zero. All because I wasn't willing to be an aide. But hear this, if we are willing to accept that promise and let God build our foundation in us, he can do so much more in and through us than we can ever fathom. You and I have to be willing to be just like Joshua and wander 40 years in the desert, serving as an aide. Go back to our scripture, verse 5. It says, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That means that the same God that was with Moses when he performed all these miraculous signs is the same God that we have access to. Why aren't we taking it? I don't have too much of a story yet of how I'm here, but I know that I'm here for a reason, right? I know that I went to church growing up with my family because my family went. Didn't necessarily live that life. I went to a Christian college, not because I wanted to go to a Christian college, because they were the only place that was going to let me play football, right? And if that was the case, that was good with me. I didn't care about school or what kind of school it was. I was just going to play ball. But I was on the team, and I was a quarterback and a leader, and I got asked, there's a parent-teacher thing going on to school. Bo, grab some people and go down there. Okay. Well, then they were like, hey, there's FCA on Friday mornings. Why don't you talk to the kids? Okay, that's fine. that led to some youth director down there saying, hey, I've got a seventh grade group of boys that you could be the small group leader for. Okay, that's cool. Just living my life, right? I go on a mission trip to Guatemala to a all-girls orphanage, and I come back, and I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to do some youth ministry stuff, right? And I think God was up in heaven at that point just being like, man, it's about time he got the sign. Like, what else do I have to do? But I say that to say that I've been very blessed, the church I worked at before, and same here. This is my second job working at a church, and having these kids influence me or influence them, I haven't figured out which way it's supposed to go yet. My problem is I'm still questioning God. I don't feel good enough to just be an aide and know that what I'm doing right now is good enough. What am I doing next? God, what do you got next? I'm good at what I do. I know I can do big things. I can talk in front of people. I can see the changed lives and the kids around. What are you going to do with me next, God? I'm ready. Show me. Show me now. I'm ready to run. But I'm not ready to be in the spotlight yet. And I got a feeling that most of us aren't ready to be in the spotlight either. And I don't care if you're the most humble person there is, and you're saying, well, I don't need the spotlight. I don't need people to recognize me. Because deep down, everyone wants to be remembered for something. Right? And if we read our scripture, we know if Moses is a servant of the Lord, that's what we need to be remembered by. But we can't just run into the spotlight. Because the spotlight is greater than the light of Christ in you, the spotlight is going to kill you. God knows I'm not ready. He needs to build some character in me. He knows he needs to sustain me first. So how do we do it? How do we become like Moses and Joshua? How do we become a servant of the Lord? Well, lucky for us, we read the next couple verses. It tells us exactly what to do. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. So for us, remember, we're not talking about a physical land, right? God's saying, if you're strong and courageous, you're going to lead the people around you to take this promised land life that I've given you, all right? Step 1. Step 2, verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or the left. You may be successful wherever you go. He says obey all of it, right? What's crazy is that Joshua had this part of the Bible, right? And we have all of this. We have so much more to follow along with. He says, don't go to the right or to the left of it. Stay with what I've given you. Verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. We all want to be successful. God's plan doesn't line up with what the world tells you to do. He says, you want to be successful, I want you to read and meditate on this book all day and all night. And he says, I want you to do everything in it. I don't want you to make it conform to what you kind of believe right now. I don't want you to adjust it to the lifestyle you're living. He says, I want you to do everything in this book. I don't know about you, and I'm not up on this stage to say that I do that. I don't at all. But he finishes with, I have not commanded you. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So it doesn't matter if we can't do everything in it, because we have the God of the universe on our side. Right? And if God is with us, what else do we need? And if God was telling Joshua this, remember, this is the guy that for 400 years and 40 more years, they weren't into the promised land. This is the guy that takes the promised land finally. If he's telling him, this is what you need to do to take the promised land, don't you think it still has some meaning to us today? Or it should? If you want a resolution and you want 2016 to be a new you, we need to stop all the crap we currently take as gospel and actually read the gospel. It's time to take our promised land living and stop living in the regret, doubt, and sin that we have. It's time to stop judging everyone and everything that people do and actually show them the love that we get. Because I got news for you. The person next to you isn't any better or worse than you. The person in Walmart isn't any better or worse than you. Sin is sin, right? There's no such thing as ranking sin selectively to what we think is bad or worse. There's many churches dying because of gossip, just like there are sexual sin. You understand that? Sin is sin. It's time to put down our smartphones and our remote controls and pick up our Bibles and actually do what it says. It's not a time for more excuses or let our future selves worry about it. If there's one thing I know about God, if he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it.
Amen.
And he doesn't say, you know, well, if not you, then who? God says, if not you, then someone else. So where do you want to be? Do you want to be a part of the plan or do you want to let it pass you by? Because if you don't do it, he'll find someone else to do it. So whatever you've decided it to be, whatever your words are from the past sermon series, do it. But remember why you do it. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it from the heart for the Lord and not for people. So do it. And lastly, we have to read and pray. We don't need to make a resolution up each year that says, oh, I'm going to read more scripture this year, right? Do we really need to make a resolution to do that? We shouldn't have to. I don't know about you, but I want to be remembered as a servant of the Lord. I'm a long way from there, but I'd like to be in that group. It's a pretty good group. But it's not going to happen by sprinting into the spotlight. It's going to take years of being an aide. It's going to take lots of reading, not turning to the left or the right of what Scripture says. And you're going to have to be really strong and really courageous because God will be with you wherever you go.
Hallelujah.
Let's be an army of Joshua's and leave today and take back our promised land. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to first thank you so much for who you are and what you've done for us. God, you've given us all the examples we need to take back our life. I don't want to wander in the desert anymore, Lord. I want to take back the promised land you've given me. Lord, I ask that you guide us in whatever direction it is, that we listen to you. We don't try and do it on our own. Lord, we just love you and we praise you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.